You're listening to Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to finish up chapter 1 today. And we are going to, if you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. We got one right there in the pew rack in front of you. And you could take that home as your gift. If you don't own a Bible of your own, you could take that home. It's on page 835 is where 1 Thessalonians starts. Now, in this book of Thessalonians, we've been looking over what it's like to be a church, what it's like to be a believer in Christ, what it means to be a model to everybody else, to say we want to model our faith, that we can look and have church revisited. Because the church of Thessalonica was a model to us. We can look at it and say, we want to look and see what we're to be like. We want to see what we should buy, so to speak, what we should purchase, so to speak, what we should do to be a model in our faith by looking at the church of Thessalonica. Now, Thessalonica was on the Via Ignatia, a road that connected east to west. We're on I-10. It was a port city. We're on the port of Houston. And this city was a model to what we should be like and what we should look like. Now, even in your bulletins, we kind of have a place of how we show how we model this and how we live this thing out. And it's our strategy of Christian growth. And it's we gather our hearts. That's what we're doing today. We're gathering our hearts. The next thing is we grow our souls. The best way to do that will be in about an hour from now in the Bible study ministry to grow our souls. And the third thing is we give our lives. And that's what we see in the church of Thessalonica. They're gathering their hearts, they're growing their souls, and they're giving their lives. And that's how you grow as a Christian. That's how you become not just modeling what Jesus has done, but a model to somebody else. Now, I don't know if you've had some crazy jobs in your life, but I've had some crazy jobs in my life. I've flipped burgers at Jack in the Box. That was my first job. I lied on the application, told them I was 16 when I was really 14. Can you imagine me looking 16 at 14? Hardly look 16 now for some of y'all, right? So 14 when I was 16, and I got the job, so I flipped burgers and ran the fryer and all sorts of things, moved up to the window and did the cash register. Then I was sacker at Randall's, so tip those guys. And so I was sacking there, and then one summer after college, I went to work for a church. I was an intern youth minister. Now, intern youth ministers don't make a whole lot of money, so then somebody asked me, well, would you like to do something else, just a one-day thing? Would you like to be a fashion model for one day? And right here on page 52 is my one day of being a fashion model. You ready? Here it is. See me on the bottom left-hand corner? Pretty as you please is what it was. Page 52 here. Now, we'll get you the little tight shot. There we go. There it is, that bomber jacket there that I had. It was not a very good jacket. They had to do a hair blower here on the jacket and try to stretch out the pleats because it had been the box from China for so long. So there is my one day fashion model moment there. And people would go from church and they'd be sitting in a doctor's office and they would turn and then all of a sudden on page 52 they'd see their youth minister on the page. And they would joke and say, well, you're really a model for the faith now. And they would tease me about that. Well, I was for one day. It didn't go off to a real big career. I'm not like doing the runway thing, you know, on Saturdays, okay? But that one day, well, you know what? God is calling us to be a model for him, and it's not just for one day. He's not calling us to just take one picture when we get bored and just want to do something creative. He's not calling us to sell jackets. He's not calling us to sell anything like that at all. He is calling us to shine with him. And so I want us to look this morning and see what it looks like not to be a model for a day, but what it looks like to be a model for your entire life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. This is what it says. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Let's stop right there, those two verses. In Macedonia and Achaia. He says here, you became an imitator of us. Do you know that imitation is a learning tool? First we follow others, then we follow Christ. First we follow others, then we follow Christ. He says, you became an imitator of us. It's okay to ask in your mind, well, what would that Christian do that I know real well? What would that person do that's a leader? And so we follow other people. This is how it works. When you first become a believer in Christ, it seems like following Jesus is the point and the goal, and we know that to be true, but it seems like that's just way far away, and how could I ever do that? So we begin to think and say, well, what would so-and-so, how would they react in this? How would they do this? And we watch other people. And we watch our Sunday school teacher, we watch the pastor, and we watch people that are in ministry, we watch people that are in leadership. We watch people to see how do they walk with God so that we can see how we can walk with God. And people begin to influence us. And that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. See, parents, your kids are watching you. They're wanting to follow Jesus one day, I'm sure, but the way that they're watching Christ is by watching you. I heard the song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, the concert we're going to have on October 16th. And it was a song that said, I want to be just like you because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a living example for his little eyes to see. It was about a son, about a father singing to a son that I want to be just like you because he wants to be like me. So I want as a father to be like Christ because I know that my son wants to be like me. You can see the chip off the old block. Kids are watching parents. Kids are watching you as an aunt or uncle. Kids are watching you as a grandparent. They're watching you as a teacher. They're identifying and they're imitating what you do. Who's watching you? Somebody's watching you. A neighbor? Coworker? A person in your family? Someone's watching you. And you know what they need to see? It's really just three things, particularly with kids. In the home. Let's take it in the home. They need to see you read your Bible, they need to see you pray, and they need to see you serve. They need to see you read your Bible, see you pray, and see you serve. I ask you this question that's convicting. When's the last time somebody in your home caught you reading your Bible? When's the last time they walked in the door and you were on your knees and they said, excuse me, I'll come back later. When do they catch you and see you? Because you could talk about it all day long. They could see me pray. They could see me read my Bible. They could see me preach. They expect it from the pastor, but they need to expect it from the parents. And so if the last time, you can't think about the last time you were caught reading your Bible by your spouse or your kids or by a friend or a coworker said, well, what are you doing? And you say, I'm blessing the meal real quick. That no one ever catches you doing those things, then I hasten to say that maybe you haven't been imitating in a way of imitating Christ because he always got caught spending time with God. And when we get caught by others, then they imitate us as we imitate Jesus Christ. James Baldwin said this, children have never been good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. Children have never been good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. The four stages of discipleship I mentioned to you before is you watch me. Then I will help you. Then I'll watch you. Then I'll help you, and then I'll watch you. So first, you watch me. Then you help me. I said it wrong. You watch me. Then you help me. Then I'm going to help you, then I'm going to watch you. That's the four stages of how it works out. And the first one is they watch us. They look and they see. And it says here that in this place that they watched them, that you became imitators of us, verse 6. Let's look at it again. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy. You imitated us, then the Lord. Hear me. If your Christian walk is based on how other Christians respond, you're living an immature Christian walk because people are going to disappoint you. Maturity and growing in Christ is you imitate somebody and then after a while you realize, you know what? I'm going directly to the Lord and I'm imitating the Lord as somebody else imitates me. Christians will disappoint you. There are Christians that are mean. There's Christians that are arrogant. There's Christians that are hypocritical. There's Christians that are know-it-alls. And when you begin to just look only at Christians, at some point, you're going to go, well, forget it. Nobody seems to be walking with the Lord. You walk with the Lord. You follow in the beginning your immature stages of walking with God by looking and saying, what would so-and-so do? And then you mature because now you're reading your Bible. You're praying. You're serving. You're gathering your hearts, you're growing your soul, you're giving your life, and then now you're looking at Jesus. So it doesn't trouble you when someone falls. It bothers you in your heart, you grieve, but it doesn't wreck your faith. Does it disturb your heart? Because you begin to walk in maturity. Thessalonica, it says, you became imitators of us, then the Lord. That's the progression. Are you still looking for everybody else to show you what to do? Are you dining from the Lord, just straight from him? And it says that they imitated him even in times of trouble. It says times of suffering. Now let's just talk real frankly right now. We're in a time of hardship within our country, aren't we? A couple of weeks ago, I did a sermon called A Hurricane Named Ike. This week, this point is called Trusting God in a Hurricane Named Subprime. Subprime is the meltdown of all the financial markets. So a couple weeks ago, we had a hurricane named Ike. Now we have a hurricane named Subprime, okay? Most of us, including myself, don't even understand what that is, okay? But all we know is that when we look at our 401k, it's thousands of dollars less than what it was a week ago because of the financial markets and the way that they've gone. So I want us to just take a moment. In Thessalonica, it's amazing how God gives us these verses. He says, you became imitators of us, then the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you had joy from the Holy Spirit. In spite of severe suffering. Now, let me say very plainly, I do not equate what is going on in our country to be biblical suffering, okay? We're not there yet, and we don't want to get there. We're going through a challenge, and it is a challenge to our faith, and it is hard on us, but we are all far from, and we need to realize and get perspective from a place of true suffering. Now, in this thing of subprime, how do we do this? Because all of us have lost money this week. If you've got anything in the stock market, you've lost money this week. If you didn't lose money this week, you still have very expensive gas to pay for. The only redeeming thing I had last week in my financial situation is I got my electricity bill, and it was half of what it was the previous month because I didn't have electricity for half the month. But it was like, yeah, celebrate. All right. Way to go. This is the best August. We're going to put it on the fridge and shoot for it next year. So that's the only redeeming factor that's happened in a week of financial markets. If you look on your bulletin, on the very back of the bulletin, it's got where the church is. You'll notice that for the month of September, we were down $223,000. That is exactly, almost exactly what happens on a Sunday. We missed a Sunday when Hurricane Ike came through. So even the church is affected. You're affected. I'm affected. We're affected as a congregation. But we're people of faith. We trust God. We trust in what he's going to do. And so we trust the Lord. Lord, you're going to take care of the church, whether we missed a Sunday or not, because what happens is it comes in on a Sunday and then we spend it throughout the week in the budget. So when you miss a Sunday, you miss basically $223,000. And so in that, and you miss something in your own life with the stock market going down, and you miss money in your retirement fund, you miss it in your savings. But I want you to hear this. I need to hear this in my own heart. We trust God. In times of suffering, they had joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I wasn't planning on sharing this until probably Thursday of this week when all this stuff started happening. Rewind your minds way back to when we were doing Be a Part of the Story to help with our capital campaign. I gave you four principles, and I want to remind you of them because we've got to lock into them in troubled times. Faithful people stick to their principles in times of suffering. We stay strong in what the principles are. Here were the financial principles we went over months ago. They're in your listening guide. This is what they are, in the right order. Number one, we give. We give to the Lord. We say, Lord, you've given to me. I'm going to give to you. I want to give my tithe of 10% of my income, or then some even, and I want to give that to you. So the first thing I do is I give to the Lord. The second thing I do is I save. I save. And we as believers are to first give the first fruits to God, that we say, God, you know what? You've given me, and whatever you give me, I give a portion. I give my tithe back to you, Lord. And then the next thing I do is I save. And I save for college, and I save for retirement. I save for a rainy day. So if you give 10% or more, whatever, to the Lord, you give 10% to your savings, and then you get down to number three, and this is usually where we start. We pay bills and fear debt. What if our country would have feared debt? Would we be in the same place? I submit to you, we wouldn't. We pay our bills and we fear debt. And number four, we enjoy. What do? We reverse it. We enjoy. We get everything we need. So we get that credit card going, get that car we don't really need, get that house we really don't need. We enjoy. Now we're in debt. And we can't pay our bills, so we get more debt. So now we don't have any money to save. And Lord, you're asking to take blood from a turnip. God, what do you want from me? When instead, when we say, God, it's first yours, you will take it then from the giving to the savings, to the paying the bills, to the fearing debt, to then enjoy. Go get a good steak. Drive a nice car. Get a shirt you like. But don't do that before you do all the other things, or you end up in a mess. That's the principles of money all throughout the Bible. That's not me just saying something. That's not me worried because the church is in trouble. God is God. We are trusting in the Lord. It is me trying to help us personally to stick to our principles and say, you know what? We're going to stick to it. And we're going to be able to hold on to this no matter who's president or not president. We trust in God. And he doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. He is God. He comes on a stallion when he comes back. So I say that to be encouragement to you. What has God been? Are you fearful? Are you shaken right now? The people in Thessalonica encountered great suffering. They were prominent women were coming to Christ. It tells us in Acts 17 from Thessalonica. They were going home and telling their unbelieving husbands. How would they respond? The Gentiles were no longer worshiping the idols, and their people were mad at them. The Jews were no longer were believing now in the Savior that their God had sent, and the Jews were coming against them. They had many times of suffering. And we in this moment, in these couple weeks, there's a financial challenge that is going on, and we've got to stick to our principles. If you leave God in the hurricane, you're jumping out of the boat into the ocean, and it's not going to work. There's a thing I read in the Chronicle. A guy jumped into his car in Bolivar Point, 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. He drove out trying to get away. He died in his truck, and his house survived just fine. If he'd have stuck to the foundation, he'd have been fine. He got in his truck and he drove off into the night and he died. Same with us financially. We've got to stick with where God has us. Now, we told you months ago, and I'll tell you again, and that giving thing is a lot of times hard for us, difficult for us. Usually about 20% of people actually tithe. So there's probably 80% of us in this room that giving kind of goes, ugh. We got a money back guarantee here. You tell us that you want to jump in for 6 months, you tithe for 6 months. If God does not provide your needs, we will refund your money. Why? Because we believe in the stock market? No, we believe in God. And God provides for his people when they say, Lord, I trust you to meet my needs. So you just let us know. You start that 6 months and we'll take off with it. God will take care of it. All I've heard this week is about Wall Street and Main Street. Every politician, this isn't just about Wall Street, this is about Main Street. It's like, come up with a new phrase, somebody. Wall Street, Main Street, I'm going to be on God's street because his street is streets of gold and they never tarnish. They never tarnish and they're stored up in heaven. Man. So we trust. In the hurricane named subprime, we trust God. We trust God. Walk in faith. Walk in principles. Let's continue on and then we're going to get to the Lord's Supper in just a second. The second point that I want to make to you is one that we find in verse 7, but let me give you the point first. The point is this: let's model in growing detail a love for heaven. Let's model in growing detail a love for heaven. Now let's look at the verse of scripture in verse 7. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message, verse 8, rang out to you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. It says that they tell us that this church became a model. If you got your Bible, I want you to circle, underline if you do that in your Bible. Model to all the believers. That is the only time in the scripture that his church is called a model. Only time. Think of all the churches referenced in the New Testament. Thessalonica is the only one that's called a model. It is to be a model. It is says that the Lord's message rang out from them. That word rang out is where we get our word echoed. That it rang so loud, it echoed out. You could write in your Bibles there, echo, and draw a little arrow there. That they were such a model. It went out, and it came back. They modeled their faith. No advertisement was needed. No one had to say, hey, there's a really good church down the street. Do you know the best thing that can happen for our church or any church is believers in Christ ring out with the message of the Lord? See, because when that happens, it doesn't matter how much advertising you do. You know what our philosophy on advertising is in this church? Advertising only gives credibility to a personal invitation. Advertisement is to give credibility to a personal invitation. Nobody's going to see a billboard and go, well, hey, and pull over. They're going to see a billboard and have the name recognition in their mind. They're going to see something in an advertisement in the paper. And then you're going to step up and say, would you like to come with me to Houston's First Baptist Church? And they're going to go, I've heard of that place. Yeah, I saw it on the news the other night. I saw it in the paper just this Sunday. I saw it in the Texans program. You know we're in the program for the Texans? Why? Because there's 75,000 people not going to church. We thought it was a good place to advertise. It gives credibility. And so advertisement, they say, we didn't even need to say anything about the church at Thessalonica. They're going to be talking about that for thousands of years. And they had a model that grew in growing detail. Now, I got some models for us to look at here. The first model that we have is this little model here. It's made for 8 years old and up, and it's a little plane, okay? It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 six little things that you can have here. Six little places that you take it, and they just snap together. You don't really even need any glue or anything like that. It's no big deal. So you got this model, and here it is. It was, $10.50 to get this one. This is one model, and it's a true model. Then I've got this other one that's kind of on the other side, the Cuddy Sark here. This one cost $70.45. I didn't unwrap it because, you know, if the offering's not good, we'll just take it back. You know, we'll get the money back for it. So I'm trying to be a good steward. This thing, I mean, just listen to it. It's got all sorts of pieces in here. Anybody want to give this one a shot over lunch and come back after lunch? No, this model has got detail upon detail. This one here is just snap tight. This one is growing in detail. I ask you the question today, what kind of model for Jesus do you want to be? Do you want to be one that's just a very simplistic, that has no detail, but when you grow in Christ, this is what happens. He moves you from the snap together to the growing detail. He wants to look at the details of your life if you've been walking with him. It's not because he's pushy. It's because he loves you. Not because he wants to make you mad. He wants you to shine with God. And sometimes as believers, we get struggling where God's going after too much detail in our life. You've been a snap together for too long. Go in detail with God. Let him speak to your words. Let him speak to your steps. Let him speak to your touch and your stuff. And then God in growing detail. And then no advertisement would ever be needed. 1871, the New York Herald sent Henry Stanley to Africa in search of David Livingstone, a missionary who had not come home. He was long overdue. After unbelievable hardships, the journalist finally found the explorer, and he was trying to disprove his faith. That was the whole message of the reporter. Stanley went to Africa, they say, conceited to confirm his atheistic mindset. But by David Livingstone's influence, his gentleness, his goodness, his graciousness, his genuineness, Stanley became a Christian. He said, I converted because David Livingstone hadn't even tried to convert me. I converted to Christ because David Livingstone, he didn't even try. He just modeled the faith. Every church, one man commentator said, every church should strive to be a little bit of heaven on earth. It should be a place where people can find a haven of rest from the dog-eat-dog atmosphere of society where everyone is out to get his own regardless of what it does to others. See, it says that they became a model of the faith. The last thing that it says in verse 9, they tell us how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Life is not just plus Christ, but minus every other way. They turn to God from idols. You know what would have been easy to do? Just take Christ and make him one more idol. But instead, they turn to God from idols. You know what's easy for us to do? Just put Jesus somewhere in there in the mix. But then we kind of run our own lives. Oh, Lord, I'll just put you a little bit here in my finances. I'll put you a little bit here in my time. Put you a little bit here in my gathering my heart and growing my soul and giving my life. And I'll put you a little bit in there. God came to take over through Christ. He doesn't come to be a piece of your life. He comes to be your life. And it's easy for us to add him to one of our other idols on the shelf. We rub our genie's lamp and we put our rabbit's foot in our pocket, and then we have Jesus on the side. Jesus comes to get all those things and to push him down and to lift himself up. Why? Because he's coming back. So we're to love heaven. To love heaven, verse 10 is an interesting thing. To wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, we know that. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. I close with this. Did you know that every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with the return of Christ? Every chapter. It ends with verses about the return of Christ. Some of it's the last verse, a couple of them, it's maybe the third verse from the end. Every one of them ends with the return of Jesus. We're gonna have two series coming up that we're gonna talk about end times. We're gonna talk about rapture, we're gonna talk about the Antichrist. Let me just give you a little trailer to get you mouth wet for those sermons coming up. This is a verse that people take to be a pre-tribulation rapture, meaning that the believers in Christ are taken up to heaven, then the tribulation, which is 7 years of hardship and really wrath, comes along. This verse right here, it says, Jesus who died, he will rescue us, talking to believers, and take us to heaven, basically, in the coming wrath. Wrath has a definite article, so it means the wrath, the next one that's coming. And on the kingdom calendar, the next one that's coming is the tribulation. So this verse is saying, why should you be a model to Jesus? Why should you be a model of Jesus? Why should you be a model to others? Because you love heaven and you know that God's gonna take you there one day if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, there will be a day when the believers in Christ will be gone from this earth and you don't want to be there on this earth at that moment. You don't wanna be there. Trust me, it will not be good. And you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then he'll put you together and you can follow me for a while. Then you start following the Lord. Then you start following his little snap together model. And then you let God do the details. But do you know who the greatest model was? Jesus himself. And you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna take the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is gonna be a time for us to be able to look at that bread and look at that cup and say, more than a fashion model for a day, he was a model of holiness for eternity. Deacons, would you come and take your places and let's pray together and we'll serve our Lord's Supper. Father, we come in this time and as we take this body and this blood, that you, God, would speak to our lives and we would just sit and look at this and realize what you have modeled to us, giving your life away on the cross. To gather our hearts to you, to grow our souls in greater detail. Father, you shed your blood, and this we do in remembrance of you. As this cup is passed, this bread is taken, we know that you are a model. In Jesus' name, amen. Gentlemen, would you come and grab and begin serving us? We want you to know that as these elements pass, this is open to all believers in Jesus Christ. If you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you are welcome to partake of this. If you have not trusted Jesus as your Savior, we just ask that you politely let the elements pass by. This is a time for believers. In just a moment, I'll have a cup and also with mine. Go ahead, y'all. I have one. Thank you, Rob or JJ. To be able to have that, you just take that and you just think about that for a moment. The modeling that Christ has. Then we'll take it together in just a moment.